You're listening to Action Magazine, the podcast, the weekly download on what's shaping in the future of film, festivals, and the creative voices behind entertainment. I'm your host, Victoria, filmmaker, documentarist, and editor-in-chief of Action Magazine. From solo insights to on-the-ground festival coverage and stories from across the creative world, this podcast keeps you in action. Welcome to episode 6 of Action Magazine, the podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be talking with Katie Bignall, the owner of Festival Formula. Let's dive into it.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining this call.
No worries. I'm a bit early. I'm always early just because I fear being late, so that's why I'm always early. So.
Exactly, me too. I'm always prepared 15 minutes before.
Amazing. Where are you calling from today?
I'm in Orlando. What about you?
Oh, do you know the UK well?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm in a place called Luton, which has an airport. It's like, if you get on the right train, it's like 20 minutes into central London. So it's kind of, I can go into London, but I don't have to pay London prices of living. Yeah.
Very convenient.
And it's great. Are you from Orlando?
No, I'm originally from Brazil, but I lived in Canada most of my life, and now I'm in the US.
Oh, nice. We love Orlando because we go to Disney World. So we're Disney adults.
Yeah,
so.
You feel like you're always on vacation mode here. It's great.
Yeah, the sun and then the occasional rain, but the rain dries really quickly, so you just forget about it.
Exactly. It's wonderful. I can't complain.
Amazing.
All right, let me introduce myself. I'm Victoria. I'm the editor-in-chief of Action Magazine, and this magazine means a lot to me. We give voice to emerging creatives out there, you know, try to inspire them, bring real conversations, teach them about the industry in all creative fields, not just film. And it's wonderful to talk to you because you have a similar mission. So I'm very excited to get to know your work and, I mean, everyone from my audience as well. And I wanted to start by asking you if you can tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey in the creative field.
Yeah, definitely. So I run Festival Formula, and it is a consultancy company that helps filmmakers navigate the worldwide circuit with their films. I've been doing strategy for 21 years, so I've seen a lot of things on the festival side, including, you know, how many festivals there are now, how you submit, premiere statuses changing, you know, how old festivals have gotten and how young some festivals are. I never set out to do this because it's a very niche job. And I think if you said to anyone when you were very young, I want to be a festival strategist, it would be a very peculiar thing to say. Yeah. So my background originally was acting. That was my kind of vocation. I was going to go study acting. And last minute, I changed all my university degree choices to writing.
Wow.
And then whilst I was studying script writing for film and TV, I had to do some work experience. And I ended up working with two filmmaking brothers called Ben and Chris Blaine. And it's partly, they are the reason why I do what I do now, and I'm still doing it 21 years later. And that was basically helping put their short comedy films into film festivals, but 21 years ago. So a lot less festivals, more premiere stipulations.
Yeah.
We had to do everything by hand. It was handwritten forms. It was sending your films to be considered by festivals through the postal service. So a lot of trips, a lot of kind of physical materials that we were dealing with. There was a juncture where I was still writing and doing this, but I was doing this word of mouth.
Yeah.
And I just got so much demand from filmmakers who were very time poor, basically, to do the research for them. And I ended up kind of putting the writing to one side and focusing on this, and it's kept me busy every day for 21 years. So I feel like I've made the right decision because I get to help people, which is, you know, the core of what anyone's vocation should be, no matter what craft they're working in. It's just to help people. So I'm thrilled that I'm still doing it. I'm thrilled that I'm still excited about it.
Exactly. That's what matters, is to be passionate about what you do. And that's wonderful. And what is Festival Formula? What is the main goal? Can you introduce us to what it actually is?
Yeah, absolutely. So the festival side of things is really overwhelming, even if you have been a filmmaker on the competitive circuit before, because things are always changing. There's more festivals, more categories, more things to consider. So essentially, what we're trying to do is help filmmakers manage their expectations. That's the key thing that we are all about, because there are some kind of perpetuating myths that there's one way to do the festival side of things and there's no other way. Whereas what we do, we're kind of essentially getting filmmakers to understand what makes their film their film. And that can be as simple as this is a really sentimental piece,
Yeah.
so therefore it's not something for the upper echelons of the festival side of things, because that's not what they program. But it can also be looking at genre. Like, we get a lot of people that make perhaps a cross-genre film. So they might make a comedy horror, and in their mind, they've just made a comedy. Whereas we're like, oh, you've made a horror as well. So there's a whole other area to kind of
Yeah.
explore and look into. So a lot of it is perhaps refocusing filmmakers to look and identify what they've made and be realistic about where they can achieve success on the circuit, because not every film is going to be for every festival. And it's expensive. It can be very expensive to submit to these festivals. So it's mostly managing expectations, but helping them spend a budget a lot more wisely and really kind of honing in the focus to kind of increase potential of selection. That's it in its rawest form. There's lots of other kind of elements that go into it.
That's wonderful. And why is Festival Formula a valuable tool for filmmakers to know about and to invest in?
It's generally having an outside pair of eyes, because a lot of films that come to us, sometimes we are the first person outside of the creative team who's seen it. And that for us is exciting, but also it's hugely beneficial for filmmakers, because sometimes they don't realize what they have. And that can be one of two ways. It could be they've thought they've made this like really kind of high-end film that's going to go for those big festivals, and we kind of come in and go, you've made a great film. It's not that level, but there are still some amazing festivals that you can get kudos at. And sometimes it's the other way around, where they'll say, oh, I've made a thing and I don't know if it's good. And then we watch it and we go, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, we need to be looking at this level of festival and so on. So definitely kind of an outside pair of eyes. Getting feedback on your film, I think, is crucial. It's not always going to be what you want to hear. But you know, we as our process, we watch everything for free, we give feedback for free. Even if we are passing on the film, we just want to be able to vouch to that filmmaker and say, we understood your film, we watched your film, and this is the kind of, you know, area that we think you could delve into with your project. And because my background is as a script writer, I'm kind of trained in script reports, so a lot of the feedback does have that kind of label on it, where it's, you know, it's a précis of the plot to prove we've understood it and watched it. And then we kind of mention any strengths the film have, or perhaps hurdles that it might be a little bit trickier in some places. So I think it's hugely beneficial, mostly because we're honest.
Yeah.
We're not a cash grab company. Like, we're only going to say yes to a film if we think we can actually help a film, which we really value. We've only ever done it that way, and a lot of filmmakers appreciate that too. Like, filmmakers that we have passed on have kind of come back and said, I really appreciate that you've not just said yes to everything. A lot of our feedback people really appreciate, and we do actually get a lot of requests where we've written the synopsis, where they've gone, your synopsis is much better than mine, can we use some of it? And we're like, absolutely, you know, because we just want to help where we can. And sometimes helping is us saying no, because we don't want filmmakers spending unnecessary monies. And sometimes we're saying no, not because we don't think the film is strong enough. Sometimes the filmmakers come to us at the wrong time, as in, like, it's too late down the line.
Yeah.
We still appreciate watching their films, and we also can nudge them in an area if we think, like, yeah, we think you haven't covered this part of the circuit, so you know, make sure you take a look into that. but don't hire us to do that because, you know, it's not going to be beneficial for your budget. So it's mostly having that side pair of eyes and validation.
Yeah.
But also just because we have so much insight to the festival side of things, which a lot of filmmakers do have experience, but it's generally the previous experience they've had.
Yeah.
So every film is different and every festival is different. And what we're trying to do is match make those two together and make it sing.
Exactly. Before we move on to questions about tips and challenges of festivals and all that, I want to ask about the Filmmaker Lounge and how does that support filmmakers?
Yeah, so Filmmaker Lounge was something that we co-created with the Film Festival Alliance kind of during the height of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it was a really wonderful way to be a support and be a community to filmmakers during a very, very tricky time.
Yeah.
But also not drop the ball. You know, there were a lot of festivals that after the first kind of quarter of the year when everything was kind of, you know, crazy and nobody knew what they were doing, when festivals began to pivot and be, you know, an online version of themselves, it meant that we had these wonderful festivals and industry creatives that would be able to explain what they're doing and also kind of going forward these tips and insights that they can utilize when the festivals went back to being in person. We ran that, I think, for about a year and a half, 2 years, maybe roughly. We also did a boot camp as well, which was kind of like designated kind of topics every couple of weeks. Yeah. It is something that we are looking to bring back because the response to it was brilliant. And it was just, I mean, our goal was to pull back the curtain so filmmakers could see the inner workings of a festival.
Yes.
And be able to hear from the festivals themselves in all the different departments. Like we had PR, we had programmers, we had festival directors, from an array of festivals, you know, from big ones to kind of regional to niche ones. It was to give the filmmakers the opportunity to listen to them directly and for the festivals themselves to also dispel a lot of myths, which we're always trying to do, you know, every day of the week. So it is something we're looking to bring back because the circuit's changed again. And as a company ourselves, we're looking to do something community-based as well, which is still kind of, we're working out what that is.
Yeah.
But just want to give a space for filmmakers to be able to dip in and out when they need it. And that during a very, very kind of isolated time,
it's
really wonderful to be able to see kind of, you know, familiar faces on the screen, but also to still talk about the creative process and about how important film festivals are and for filmmakers to have that wonderful opportunity to listen and also ask questions that they've always wanted to.
Exactly. That's a wonderful, wonderful tool. Over the years, what changes have you noticed in film festival selections and trends?
Well, there's a lot more film festivals, and there are always new festivals occurring. If you crunch down the data, which can for some people can be very boring, but for me, it's my day job. A lot of changes have been how many programs a festival does have now. And that was slightly dented after we've just been talking about pandemic. It was slightly dented because of the pandemic. So when people began to go back to being in person events, you know, several kind of admin side of things, some of the venues that festivals were using were shuttered, or they had cut down their staff because of funding.
Yeah.
But then also insurance that festivals were having to pay had suddenly skyrocketed because of the pandemic. So we did see a real kind of increase in festivals decreasing how many films that they played.
Yeah.
That's now kind of leveled back up because, you know, the funding, not for every festival, but the funding is mostly back in place or the venues are there. But I think in terms of trends, I mean, we always see a lot of short films reflect topical events. So things that are in the zeitgeist. So it's always something to be aware of if you're a documentarian that, you know, if you have made a documentary about a certain topic, which is very prevalent, the chances are you are not the only documentary in that submission pile about that same thing, which can really make it hard for programmers because they're like, we do want to talk about this thing, but we've got 15 films that all talk about the same thing, and we can only really play one of them, and which one suits our audience, which one is in a way that, you know, fits the rest of the program. So that I'd say topics always kind of come in cycles.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily see it as a change, but because I've been doing it so long, the length of a short film has kind of like gone like this.
Yeah.
So when I first started, people were shooting on film. It was a lot more expensive to make a film, short film. So a lot of the film lengths were kind of, you know, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Which a lot of filmmakers think is the pinnacle. Like, I've got to have a 15-minute film. There's no magic runtime, but that just happened to be the kind of recurring runtime 21 years ago. When we got the introduction of HD, so when the Canon 5D and 7D came out, it meant that you could shoot stills, but you could also shoot footage.
Yeah.
People began to creep up to like 20 minutes plus for a short film, which, again, it's not a killer, but it's something to be really cautious of, because as soon as you go over 15 minutes, you've got to earn your keep. You've got to make sure that that film is super tight, it's super interesting, it's really engaging. And then now we've kind of seen a dip back. We're kind of seeing a lot of films, actually, from our data, from stuff being sent to us, between 8 and 12 minutes is actually quite the kind of, that's the main bulk of films that were being sent, which is great. Obviously, they've got to tell their story effectively.
Yeah.
But I always say the same thing. It doesn't matter if your film is 5 minutes or if it's 22 minutes. It's how you tell your story.
Exactly.
The best longer running films are the ones where they don't feel like they're long.
Exactly.
But you do have to be conscious, because every festival has their own cutoff runtime. So, yeah.
And what changes do you think are coming in the future, or trends that you think are going to come in the future?
I do think that a lot of festivals, a lot of the buzz at the moment, in both good and bad, is AI. Mm. That seems to be a topic of great debate.
Yes.
Which I think it's dependent on the festival, because some will have stipulations saying, if you've used any AI in your film, we do not want you to submit. We don't want to consider the film. Then you have other festivals that are introducing categories. So they're kind of acknowledging that there are films being made with AI tools, but they are putting them in a separate category. So therefore, perhaps creating a separate strand. So they're not necessarily with other films. You do get some, well, there are some AI specific festivals.
Yeah.
They're in their infancy, because I do think it's a particular crowd, because obviously if you are a hardcore cinephile, you're going to be against it. But there are people that are embracing it. So I think that that's going to be an ongoing topic of discussion for a good few years. It will be interesting to see how the AI focused festivals fare.
Yeah.
And if people are still creating content with them. I mean, content is a bit of an innocuous word, but still creating projects with it.
Yeah.
Or not, they'll still be around. But I think mostly AI, and I think as well, this is more looking at features.
Yeah.
We just do short, but in terms of the feature landscape, I think a lot more people are now utilizing the festival route as their own distribution, which I think is great. I think it's a really efficient way of doing it, because it's expensive to do a theatrical run yourself.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have a feature that really kind of hits on something, it could be a comedy, it could be a feel good, it could be a documentary or anything, that a lot of filmmakers are kind of utilizing the selections in the festivals to do a regional tour. Which I think is brilliant.
Definitely.
Because you don't, when you're a filmmaker and you've made a project, it means a lot to get the validation from the festivals, but to actually be able to make a broader picture of it is really, really great. And I always say the same thing. When you get a selection at a festival, you are doing your own market research. You are effectively saying, we found an audience here. So if you have a feature, it's like, oh, we found an audience here and here. We're getting a lot of selections in this area, on this coast. So should we tap into this? What other festivals are around? You know, should we kind of see if we can do like a special screening outside of a festival?
Yeah.
That's the other thing I'm seeing a lot, which I think is great.
Yeah, definitely. It's great. And the AI is definitely gaining space, and it's great that it's almost becoming a genre, and it's gaining different spaces inside the festival run. And I think people that like it have the chance to utilize that. People that don't like it can stay away from it. So let's see what happens with that in the years to come. Next question I have for you is, what makes your approach to festival strategy different from others that are doing the same thing?
So we, first of all, we're very, very honest and we're very realistic. So that's just with our experience of knowing the festivals, perhaps a lot better than a filmmaker would. But that can be a little bit more granular, like, you know, we've attended, we know what the audience like, we know what they engage with. But also, you know, having conversations with festival programmers and festival directors, and we always ask them, like, what do you run short of? What do you always need more of? And that means that we can tailor it to the films that we're creating strategy for. Now, every strategy is really different because we are considering the film itself. Yeah. And you can call them stories in front of the camera and stories behind. So what genre is it? Where was it shot? Is it a co-production? Is it a student filmmaker? Mm-hmm. Is it Latino director? Is it an Asian producer? Is it a mental health story? Is it a coming of age? Is it a children's story? All of these assets really do kind of lead us in the charge of where do we think this film should suit. But the thing that we're really skilled at is putting it into an order that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because film festivals, they don't have, there's no one size fits all. So not every festival opens at the same time and closes at the same time. They kind of go out throughout the year. And sometimes the difference between us going, oh, that festival's too small for this film right now, it's open, but we're going to suggest that the filmmaker submits to it the following year because then the film can play at perhaps a little bit more established festival. So we're always thinking of the journey the film can have. Mm-hmm. And again, it's wildly different from every film. We could be looking after, you know, a film that we think can aim for the bigger festivals, which means that we've got to be a little bit more protective over premiere status. And also, like, not sit on the film too long, but not kind of, you know, have the filmmaker waiting for half a year.
Yeah.
But then that will be very different if somebody's come to us with a really sweet coming of age story, which is very gentle. It's a different circuit. So we're perhaps less sitting on it. We're more like, your film's already played a few places. Now it's about getting wider audience. We can then tap into where you haven't located yet. So I think we're very different because it's always about the film and the filmmaker. And again, goes back to the idea of managing expectations is sometimes we are recommending a lot of festivals that a filmmaker may not have heard of, but we vetted them. Like, we know what they like, what they don't need. And that's why we travel to a lot of festivals, because we are seeing what festivals are doing well, how their audience engages with it. So it's great, like, as a strategist, the three of us that watch films for the slate at Festival Formula, when we're watching something, it may not be our taste, but we've put that aside because what we're doing is we're going, oh yeah, I can see an audience for this, and I know exactly, it's like, it's over here and it's over there, and that festival will be perfect for this, or that category is like made for this film. So we do get granular, which again, for a lot of people, it's really boring, but it's that really tickles our brain because it's always problem solving. It's always kind of going, oh, if that film played here first, should we go to that one? Or actually, no, that one needs a premiere, so maybe we should kind of rearrange it. It's very much like putting together a jigsaw puzzle, but without knowing what the pieces are yet. And we're figuring it out as we go through, which is kind of what submitting to the circuit is like. You're throwing things against the wall to see if it sticks. But when it does, you're like, oh, brilliant. Like, that worked. That's one jigsaw puzzle piece in place. So it's very, very kind of, it's intuitive to us, but obviously for a filmmaker that perhaps doesn't know the circuit that well, or perhaps doesn't really know where their film fits.
Yeah.
Like, that's where we can be that kind of guide. We can go, actually, leave it with us. Let us put something together, because we're going to be looking at it strategically,
yeah,
rather than just submitting to the Oscar and the BAFTA list very quickly.
Exactly, definitely. And you only work with short films, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, and if we talk about like documentaries, features, music videos, TV pilots that also are going to festivals, do you think it's the same approach for people that have projects like that, or it's always different when you have a documentary or a TV pilot?
Yeah, it's slightly different. It depends. So features, the premiere stipulations are more hotter. So you have to be a little bit more cautious of submitting too far ahead, whereas with a short, unless you are aiming for the very big festivals, they do require a big premiere. That you, with a short, you can be more nimble. So you can submit to a multitude of festivals at the same time and there'll be no premiere conflict.
Interesting.
With music videos, we still consider them. I think it depends. We get more traction with an animated music video because you have the animation side of things. There are more and more music video categories popping up. Mm-hmm. But they also all come with their own runtime stipulation, which can, again, scupper someone's plans. So some of them are like 5 minutes and under, 7 minutes and under. So if you made a 10-minute music video, you'll find that the categories dwindle about where you can submit.
Yeah.
Documentary is an interesting one because we always have the same conversation, even when we're looking at short docs, is dependent on the topic you've explored, can help you navigate where you submit level wise.
Yeah.
And the reason we say that is a lot of higher tiered doc specific festivals are generally after investigative or hard hitting or topical issue films.
Yeah.
So if you've made a fun, quirky documentary, it's not really going to be their flavor. But at the same time, discussing with festivals what they're always short of, sub 15 minute documentaries always comes up.
Yeah.
So we always say, well, actually, you've made a documentary and it's really fun, it's really great. We'll incorporate some of the higher tiers that we know are perhaps a little bit more flexible with the themes that they program to, but you'll get more success on what we call traditional festivals, festivals that happen to have a short documentary category, because they are wanting a variety of short documentaries for their audience that are not going to really emotionally drain them. Or they're going to, you know, educate them or entertain them at the same time. So we have some really great short documentaries on our slate, and they're all very, very different. And again, different countries of production, different focuses. So it means that we can tap into those different areas. But documentaries, it always goes in your favor to research what those big documentary festivals have played previously. And you soon realize how your film does match them or doesn't match them. And it's hugely beneficial taking that time because it can save you time and money.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And how early in the filmmaking process should someone start thinking about festivals?
Personally, before they're like finish the script. mostly because I think it can help you figure out a deadline, but it can also help figure out what kind of film you're making.
Yeah.
So I think because when you write your script, it's one version. When you shoot it, it's another version. And then when you edit it, it's a completely different version.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel knowing it's the same thing when you're going on to an audience, when you're going on to a festival circuit as a filmmaker, and when you're writing a script, it's knowing who your audience is from the very beginning, because it can help guide you. And I think sometimes filmmakers can lose sight of that. So that when they come to us and we say, hey, we really like your film, it's about XYZ, they're like, oh, is it? And we're like, yeah, like, so let's run with that, because, you know, you've made something that perhaps you haven't quite understood fully how other people are going to intercept it. So, yeah, I think always kind of be thinking about where you want to achieve, even if it's some aspirationals, even if it's like, you know, there's one filmmaker that I've known for many years, and he always makes a film to the deadline of Cannes. He never submits to Cannes because he never makes a film that's Cannes flavor. But what it does do is it gives him a deadline.
Yeah.
And it gets him creative. It gets him kind of, you know, finishing that film. So sometimes it can be just a deadline, kind of, you know, having a good focus. but also, like, you should always, before you put pen to paper, know who is this audience that I'm trying to reach, because it will help you from every single stage.
Definitely. Yeah, that's a great tip. And how can a filmmaker know if their project is truly festival ready? What should they have prepared before applying? What are some materials that they need to have ready?
So the most standard materials that any festival will need will be a synopsis. And it needs to be a short synopsis, because sometimes festivals have very limited space in a printed program. So we, as a company, after doing it so long, our rule of thumb is 40 minutes and under, sorry, 40 words and under for a short synopsis. Stills from the film, narrative stills, they do not need to be behind the scenes stills. Headshot, bio for your director. It's always nice to have a director's statement on Film Freeway, just because if a film festival wants to know a little bit more about it, they have something to read. It's not going to be the thing that decides if your film is selected or not, but it's just sometimes it's extra information. I mean, my tip is always to fill in as much as you can of your profiles on the submission platforms. Don't just list the 3-4 HODs, like list your editor, list your colorist, list your, you know, casting director, your entire cast. You know, it gives a good first impression that when you kind of look and you go, right, yeah, because you made the film as a team.
Yeah,
it's not just the writer, director, producer and the actor, like, you know, there's more to it. But I think it's making sure that everything is there for a festival to look at if they need that information. I think making sure you're festival ready, the first thing I would really urge people to do, which I realize isn't always possible, but realistically try and go out with a finished film. There's a lot of people that will send a work in progress because there's a big festival that they want to hit the deadline. And sometimes you're not sending the film in its best possible version. Work in progress. I mean, we are handling a few, but they are things like, you know, the final composition isn't done. So it's a music thing, or, you know, we've sent a work in progress, but the festival will never know because it's just somebody's spelling and the credits is incorrect and it needs to be changed. They're minimal things, but sending out a film as complete as you can will go in your favor, but also you're not going to waste money. Like, don't send it out as a rough edit, because you're realistically only going to get one opportunity for that festival to see that film, and you want them to see it in the best possible way.
Yeah, that's definitely something to be careful with. And I think that can be considered a mistake that a lot of filmmakers make, sending those films that are not festival ready yet. What are some other common mistakes that you see a lot of filmmakers do when they submit projects?
Submit to the wrong type of festivals. And that is multifaceted. So wrong in that it's just not suited for their film. Like, they've aimed too big, they've aimed too bold with the film, but that's because they're blinded by the prestige of the festival. And we get it. Like, who doesn't want to play at Venice? Who doesn't want to play at Cannes? Who doesn't want to play at Sundance? But it's about figuring out, like, realistically, is my film eligible? Is it suitable for what they're after? And 9 times out of 10, it isn't. Now, we've had films play at Venice and Sundance and South by and all those kind of big ones. But it's because we thought, yeah, this film suits what their flavor is after. So, you know, we've gone there because we've gone, yeah, this makes sense. What we haven't done is submit every single client there. The other wrong type of festival is perhaps festivals that kind of fall under the kind of awards mills or monthly only or online only specific festivals, which for us as a strategist, they feel a bit hollow for filmmakers because they're not necessarily a curated. Sometimes they're not even an event. You know, they don't curate them. They don't put them into a block. They don't screen them. And they generally tend to be the ones that we understand why filmmakers do fall foul of them. And it's because they hear no a lot from other festivals. They perhaps get a phishing email sent to them saying, here's a 30% discount code off. But they generally, it's filmmakers wanting validation, and we totally get that. But my advice would be really, really look at a festival, you know, does it have a bazillion categories? That's always a big red flag. If they have a catch-em-all category where you can submit to one and be considered for everything, and it's like $250,
Yeah.
no. But just seeing if they are actually an online event only, because sometimes these festivals are not very clear about it, and it's because they are trying to increase the submissions coming in.
Definitely.
So if something feels a bit off,
Yeah, because
into
it
that instinct, yeah.
definitely that's something to pay attention to for sure. And if we compare applying to a small local festival versus a major festival like Sundance or TIFF, what's the difference in applying to those? Is there a difference, or essentially it's the same, or you have to pay certain attention to if you apply to Sundance or TIFF compared to a smaller one?
It's going to be dependent on if a festival requires a premier. So TIFF does, it needs at least a North American premier and above.
Okay.
Sundance doesn't have a premier at all. The only thing I would say is the bigger the festival, the more submissions that they get. So it is very tough to get a selection in those. We've had a screening in both of those, multiple clients. But again, it's coming down to that. Does it suit being submitted there? And was the timing right for the premier that they needed and so on? There is no difference. I mean, I know a lot of filmmakers are going to dispute this, but doing it 21 years, I can prove it is. There's no difference between submitting to a big festival to a small festival. It's still the same process. Your film gets put into a submission pile, it gets viewed by a team. Whether or not it's a successful application or not a successful application, that's always going to be, increased tenfold, because the more festivals you submit to, the more chances you're going to have of hearing yes or no.
Yeah.
I think it's getting filmmakers to understand it really is about where you're submitting rather than how you're submitting, because there's plenty of myths which I could talk about for a whole week, but you've got to know someone to watch to get your film seen or to get it selected. Which is a really common one. And, we have had, like I say, clients screen at Venice and at Sundance and South By. And, we don't know the individual programmers well. We do know some of them now off the back of it, but we submitted like every other filmmaker did, and it's because the film suited what they needed. So it is very tough. Rejection, you always get a high
Yeah.
rejection rate. Just that's natural. Like if you think
Definitely.
about Sundance, that receives like 16,000 submissions, and they maybe play like 40 to 60 short films, so you really, really got to think about, does my film match what they previously play?
Exactly.
You could save a lot of money by doing that.
Exactly. And that's where I think having someone like you is very beneficial, because as filmmakers, it's tough to know the right path to take. And what I'm going to wrap this up with, if you have anything else to add, please feel free. But how can people reach out to you? How can people contact you or follow your work, your tips, so we can give them some resources to reach you out?
Absolutely. So festivalformula.com is a website. If you do want to send us your film to can be considered for our slate, there is a contact us page on there. It will ask you for a few bits of information. Just make sure you read everything so your film is eligible, because we do have criteria, much like a festival. But I heavily recommend any filmmaker, whether they're interested in our services or not, to follow us on socials, because it's a really good resource for festivals that you might have heard about or that you haven't heard about. We're posting consistently all of our client selections at festivals where we are traveling to festivals as well, but also anyone who joins our slate. So it's a nice bit of information to figure out, like to be able to see what festivals are picking from our slate, and it might help you research those festivals. So yeah, we're at Festival Formula on Instagram, we're Festival Formula on Facebook, and also on Threads as well.
And thank you so much for your time. This is lovely information.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And your questions were brilliant, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you. Pleasure meeting you.
Thanks for listening to Action Magazine, the podcast. Keep creating, keep dreaming, and stay in action. Catch you next week.